you don't do the work that I did for so many years without having the ability to have access to people. You're put on a suicide mission per se, it doesn't mean you're gonna die. It means that it's gonna be very difficult for you to reappear and not get noticed. I actually did a 360 in my life and went back to school, and I tried to penetrate every single laboratory I could that I knew was connected with these things. And the one thing that people are missing are these insane agreements that our tribal lands have with the United Nations. So if ever there was a war to come, all you have to, civil war, right? It will rise from the states that have solid tribal agreements with the UN, or organizations within states that have huge UN agreements.
With the global economy being in shambles and central bankers moving towards a reset, it's never been a better time to protect your wealth by owning precious metals. Silver is at historical lows, and that's the best time to buy. Contact Andy at milesfranklin.com. Tell him Sarah sent you. He promised me he will guarantee you the lowest price anywhere in the country. Remember, email Andy at milesfranklin.com and tell him Sarah sent you. It's never been a better time to protect your future than now. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have the ex-clandestine spy, Tori Massette, coming onto the program. She actually goes by Tor Says in her show. She has a show. And she has a blog, and she's been doing this for a little bit. And she was a contractor, actually, kind of like Patrick Berge working with ShadowNet. She did a lot of that same things, but she also was a clandestine spy, where she went in and acted like she was different people to get intelligence, to work with PSYOPs and affect the outcome of a situation. And she's coming on to share with us how PSYOPs work, what they do, and then also her experience, some of the mind-blowing experience that she had while she was working as a spy, working with John Brennan, the argument she got with John Brennan. This is a very interesting interview, and I am going to have her back just to get her take on different things periodically, because she has a side that I don't hear from other people. And I think getting input from people like her, that's very unique. There are other people out there who claim to be spies or who have different military intelligence, but I just don't seem to get the same type of information. She's really a very interesting person to talk to, and I think you will really enjoy this interview and this conversation that I have with her. So before I get into this fabulous discussion, I want to remind you that patrons get special discounts on the C60 gel caps, which everyone should look into as far as building up your immune system. There is nothing better than the C60. My listeners also have discounts that they can get by going to my store at sarahwestall.com/shop. You can get different discounts on products, and it helps keep the show going, because those of you know that I am demonetized on YouTube, and this is how I keep myself going. And I want to also tell you how much I appreciate the support that I get from listeners. When you write me emails and tell me and say kind things, I really appreciate that. But I also have to tell you that I'm working really hard to keep up on emails. So if I miss something, don't take it personally. That just means that I am swamped or I need a couple days off, because some of this things I hear behind the scenes are just so intense that I sometimes need a break. And so if I don't get to all the emails, please don't take that personally. Maybe resend the email, especially if it's important. And I also want to say again how much I appreciate all of you. I truly do in these tough times. So anyways, let's get into this really fascinating discussion with Tori Massette. Tori, thank you so much for joining the program.
Thank you for having me, Sarah.
I really appreciate you coming. I've had so many people tell me for a while, you've got to get her on. She's just an expert. And with your analyst background, I want to talk a little bit about what your background is and, you know, why you are one of the best people to talk to on this. And we're going to talk about ShadowNet and the hammer and tools like that, because I know there's a lot more than just those two. But
What was your background? What did you do? Because I know you were a contractor for the intelligence agencies for a long time.
I wasn't an analyst. I actually was recruited out of the Navy to do what I did best, which is find patterns. And then within those patterns, and patterns meaning not like decoration patterns or just number patterns, but behavioral patterns, and find ways to manipulate them to go to the path that we wanted them to go to. So it's more of a surveillance and manipulating the information we get from surveillance to give us the outcome we want. It's reality hacking, basically.
Well, and so it's because people say we have all these surveillance, we're mass surveilled, you know, and it's like, well, that's great. And people don't understand why this is so bad, not only because you don't want people watching everything you do, but it's what you do with this information and how you can take that information and control people's lives. I mean, you can create fear and anger, you can create obedience, you can create all these things. And you did it in other countries, but now we're seeing it here in the United States wielded against us. Can you talk about some of the stuff that you did with this and how it worked in other countries?
Okay, so I'm not going to go into detail because then that would be making us look really, really bad as a nation. But think of it this way. It's as if I'll bring, for example, how I did this and how good I was at it. For example, we wanted a group of people to invest in energy to another group of people. But they didn't like those group of people. And it was really hard to make their leaders see it our way, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, cue music, I come in and I'm, I don't know, an intern maybe, where all these people are, or the janitor, or the flower lady, or, you know, whatever. And I keep dropping magazines about that specific group of people with the energy. I leave web browsers open to that. Maybe play programs and leave them in the lunchroom like that. So slowly I would, you know, within a couple of days, I'm thinking of that group of people that are selling that energy product 24/7. So in essence, I've just hacked their reality and they've decided that they're going to, even though it is against whatever their leadership wants, invest there. Make sense?
Yeah. And so how would you
kind of like guiding someone into the pen of where you want them to with cues, certain cues, leaving stuff in the printer, you know, stuff like that.
And how would be the practical application here in the United States? Where people, I know where they do that with the media all the time. Every time you turn around, you see something that is cueing you to think a certain way.
Well, see, the one thing about people is that they're easily, their focus, I don't want to say focus. How do I put this? We are conditioned to accept the group think, right, as a hive mind. So if we are constantly bombarded by brands, and brands doesn't mean like, oh, brand name food or brand name, you know, clothing, but it's a brand name or mainstream something, right? Like we see even on social media now, right? We see, oh, well, I trust that person because they have a blue check mark by their name, you know? So we're constantly conditioned to follow those that are branded and approved by the general whole. Yes. So that is the biggest weakness we have because we never think of the message over the messenger, which is a big deal. Okay. And this vulnerability that has been cultivated into us with how should we walk, talk, eat, what music to listen to. This is how we should look. We should have the latest phone. We should listen to CNN. You know, they're like global and, you know, all these things have conditioned us to unfortunately follow the majority. And that is a weakness that every single human being has had since the beginning of any society being formed, that there's always the follow the leader. And you know, this isn't necessarily fully bad, right? Because it's not like we can have 100 cooks in the kitchen, right? Mm-hmm. Cooking the same dish. But it also, the problem that we have is that we don't realize, yeah, we can all be cooks, but we'll nominate one person to cook for us. But that doesn't mean that the cook can just do it the way they want to, that we all have input. So we lack the ability to know that, yes, we can elect or we can choose to listen to this person or elect them in that position. But in essence, we've been conditioned over the past 50 years to associate the election or the giving the right to the other person to tell us what we need to know as a forfeit of a right to question that.
Well, I know in marketing, you have the early adopters, people who will adopt something very quickly. They're always searching for the next new thing. And then you have the fast followers, and then you have the next group, and then you have the lag behinds. So I'd assume they've mastered how to deal with that process.
So yeah. So yes, not only that process, but how to make other people be that, you know, first group that adopts anything, the hive mind, that are more vulnerable. But aside from just that, remember, even the people that actually work in those areas, for example, me, I didn't realize what big of a hold they had on me as a person. And my ability, like I consider myself someone that has great peripheral vision, right? Mm-hmm. Which means I don't just see what the target is, but I can see the targets on the outside. But the problem that I realized that they've conditioned me into, which was very smart, right? Because this is how I was kept in check for a very long time. Was to disable my ability for proximity. So I'm very good at seeing far out in regards to threat mitigation, changing course or whatever, but I lack, and obviously I didn't need it, but for me as a person, as a Tory myself, right? Mm-hmm. I lack the ability to look at proximity. So in essence, if we're giving, someone's definitely taking. And in this sense, I'm just saying on a personal sphere, not a civilization, I was given the ability to see this, but I was taketh the ability to look at my own feet. It's kind of like I was pregnant, and you know how you can't see your feet.
Yeah. So how, what's in a practical way, what does that mean? Like what?
Well, we're always giving and taking, right? Always.
No, but for you, like, what does it mean? How does that, like, you can see peripheral vision, but you can't see right in front of you. So
not in front of you, like on you, like right within your close sphere.
Yeah. So give us an example. So you can, like, if the people you're directly working with are bad guys, you wouldn't necessarily be able to tell that, but you can tell the people who are farther right. away.
Exactly. And in the awakening part for me was back in 2008. Slowly though, right? Because obviously if it's in your work environment, it's going to be in your school environment, your family environment, your social circle environment, right? Because you lack that, they've taken your ability to see proximal. For me, it was a big rude awakening, you know, where, you know, it just so happened. I mean, I wanted to squeeze in through some containers and have a cigarette with no, you know, when I was supposed to go to the back of the boat, and I squeeze in through these containers, and you know, I'm just, you know, I'm a woman, I'm bored, I'm in the middle of nowhere and hanging out in containers. So I squeeze between them, one, to make sure that the wind doesn't blow out my lighter, right? And mm-hmm. two, just, you know, to not be in the wind, right? But that's where I saw something in containers that I can't unsee. I saw, you know, because they have like where containers are on a ship, they have like these boxes. I don't want to say they're fixed boxes. They're like these metal boxes with tools, like if you need to open something up or something like that, right?
Yes.
And so I noticed that the container had windows at the top, and I was like, oh, that's weird. Do you think it's a tiger or something? And I'm like, why would a tiger be in a container? You know?
Yeah.
You know, what you're bored. That? You're just like, okay, I'm waiting for the helicopter to come get us, like whatever, you know? And, you know, I peeked in, and That was a moment of, it was such a rude awakening.
Was it children?
It was, you know, I want to say yes, and I want to say no. And they were small people. So the only thing I could tell you is I can tell you how I felt, because it's every single time I'm trying to revisit it, I'm trying to remember the smell of the salt in the air, how the wind was blowing, how I could hear it. I'm trying to remember every single detail. Like I can even remember the dragging of the box, you know, on the ground and how it was tinkling because it has like a chain to it. And I've always, you know, I don't know if my mind's blocking it out or I'm not. It's been, it's been what? Wow. 12 years, trying to remember. And all I remember though really well is how my heart was in my mouth pounding. And I thought, okay, I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to walk toward the back to make it look like I'm coming from there. You know, what if someone sees me, you know, they could throw me overboard. Maybe I wasn't supposed to see this. And then I was like, don't be silly. Just smoke your cigarette and keep going, you know? And, you know, I kind of played it off. I mean, they realized that I was spooked about something and it takes a lot to get me scared. So, you know, I was just like, yeah, I don't feel well, seasick, which was another lie. But what was I supposed to say? And that's where I realized that things aren't, I mean, I had realized it before because I had come toe-to-toe with my old superior in Luxembourg in 2005. So we had it out like on the street corner with coffee. And I was like, yo, this just doesn't feel right. And this has to do with clones. I'm not ready to talk about that.
It had to do with clones?
Clones.
And now who was this? Can you tell us who your superior was?
John Brennan.
Okay. And it had to do with clones. Okay.
Yes. And so it was just a weird conversation. And I'll tell you, the next assignments that I got, the projects per se, were death missions. And not death like you're going to die. Yeah, they were risky. They were all risky, right? You could die just going from here to the corner, right? Obviously, I wasn't going from here to the corner. I was going into hostile nations. But, you know, I knew that he was punishing me because he was tainting me. You know, in the line of work that I did where you're supposed to not be who you say you are, right?
Yep.
To be able to gather information, a clandestine, you know, people kind of think like cat suits and all this stuff. It's the nerds. It's the janitor. It's like the flower lady that we have in the White House that Valerie Jarrett put there. And I'm like, why is she still working there? That's a clue.
Yeah.
She's Iranian. Why is she there? Why is she there working, putting flowers around our president? Anyway, so it's those people that everybody has to be careful of. And, you know, when they don't want to be heard. Okay. And but the thing is, you don't want to be exposed. Like you don't want your name being documented. You don't want your face being documented because then it burns your ability to go back there. Right. It's like, let's pretend, hypothetically speaking, maybe true, maybe not, that I was like a hotel manager for a very big chain for one assignment, right?
Mm-hmm.
I obviously can never go back to that hotel, that specific location, because there's bound to be someone there that worked during the period of time that here I come saying, oh, I'm your acting GM for now, you know, and they'll remember. So that card is burned. Do you see what I mean? So when you're put on a suicide mission per se, it doesn't mean you're going to die. It means that it's going to be very difficult for you to reappear and not get noticed. That's it. So he sent me, the next assignments were all suicide missions. And it's like, why would you do that to me?
And why did he? Why did he? Because you argued about drones or clones. I mean, you were arguing,
yeah.
You didn't like their program and how they clone people, which is very interesting. I'd like to know more. And so that argument made him punish you?
Well, it wasn't that. It's like he turned around and said that I need to know my place. And every time I hear that, my eyes just do somersaults. That's how annoyed I am. Because I was thinking, you're dumb. I actually thought that in my head. Like, this guy is stupid. Ask anyone that's worked with him. He's actually thick as a brick. And I'm not trying to say, oh, look, I'm smart. You're dumb. They recruited me because I am smart, you know? And this guy is like so dumb. Even that CIA contractor, what's his name? Ship. I don't know. Have you ever interviewed him?
No.
Kevin Ship.
Oh, Kevin Ship. No, I have not interviewed him.
He even says, I heard him on Scott Adams' show, and he even says, whatever, John Brennan's stupid. He is. But the one thing he gains in, let's say, is his ability to get things done because of the connections he has. I can't explain it otherwise. It's like he has this wind underneath his armpits that keep him standing up. That's definitely not smart.
Well,
like, he's not smart. It's like he's a front.
Well, everybody's place is to question something that threatens humanity and is bigger than what the CIA is, correct? I mean, I would say that you do have a place at not questioning authority when you're in an organization, when you're doing your job. But as soon as they start crossing the line and doing things that threaten humanity, threaten our existence, threaten just humans' lives in a much bigger way than the CIA has any right to do, then you no longer are out of bounds anymore.
But we're talking more than the CIA. The CIA is like a window dressing.
Whatever the deep state is, whatever, at that point, any human being has a right to then question. You no longer are just a worker in that organization. You are now have the ability to question them because they went way past their mandate.
Well, you know, this goes back to me saying that Barack Hussein Obama is a Petri dish. I've said that many, many times, and I know what I'm talking about when I say that, because this is really important. What I had seen didn't make me question, am I on the right team? Am I on the wrong team? Because, in my mind, I believe that what we were doing was, to strengthen our nation. But for me, it was a moral obligation to say, hold on a second. Why is our nation engaged? Like, the people, I mean, you guys refuse to acknowledge, and this is not okay.
That's my point. They crossed that line.
Yeah, I wanted to tell him because I actually believed that there was a hierarchy. And obviously, as a contractor three times removed, whatever you want to call it, because that's what they always do, don't they, right? They have us as contractor. I knew that I would never be afforded whistleblower status. I mean, Bergie, for example, that created ShadowNet based off of things that I had done before him, right? Mm-hmm. He thought he had whistleblower status, and he didn't. They made it clear to him. So they make sure that the smart people that they get to make all this fancy stuff for them and to create strategies, because what I did were actual war strategies. Like, there are generals, without naming names, that have used strategies that I put together. And not to say, oh, look, I'm good at watching patterns. My predictive analytics are insane because that is like my superpower. Everybody has a superpower, right? Mine is patterns. And, doing that really quick math, and just getting it done. And so, they make sure that they can put you in a box and in a position. But no matter what position you are at, even if you're a Marine, right? The rule is, has to pass the smell test, right? This did not pass the smell test. And I'll tell you what, in 2005, January, he told me that I would be heading and be based out of Benghazi for the next 10 years, that they wanted to relocate me from England to Benghazi. Thank God. And it was completely unexpected. At the time that was being processed, I got pregnant with my daughter. Thank God. That's all I have to say. Because I would have probably been that interpreter that was there with the rest of our, patriots that were annihilated in Benghazi.
So you think they pick people specifically? Well, it seems obvious that they would pick people that they don't mind getting rid of. They're disposable at that point to be in those roles.
Especially when they know what's going on. Like, I'm seeing who they're sending to Afghanistan right now. And it's like, are we losing? Why would we send, Molly Fee to Afghanistan? This woman failed as an ambassador in South Sudan. In South Sudan, she didn't even have to do anything. She just had to sit there. We already destroyed the country. There's no North Sudan, right? There's just a South Sudan, which is so bizarre, right? And she's just there as a decoration to say, oh, we have an ambassador. Why would we send her to Afghanistan? And why are we sending such a huge delegation now to Afghanistan from the State Department?
Well, because they're disposable, it sounds like there's something going on. But you had
There is something going.
You threw in that clone statement, and you said you weren't ready to talk about it. Are you not ready to talk about cloning, or are you not ready to talk about what you saw in that box? What can I talk about with you? Because that cloning comment is very interesting.
Yeah. Well, no, okay. So cloning, I can say a few things. I'm just not like. I don't think the world is ready to know this because it's really, really hard. And then I'm sure that whoever's listening will be like, how do you know what I'm ready for? It's like, look, it's one thing to talk about it like it happens and be like, oh yeah, totally, this can happen. And it's another thing to know that it's happening, right? To know that it's happening, right?
That's true.
It's kind of like, you know, and that's the thing. When I said I was done, obviously never done, right? When I said it, I actually did a 360 in my life and went back to school, and I tried to penetrate every single laboratory I could that I knew was connected with these things. And some of the laboratories that I penetrated as a student, you know, oh, I just want to come and study and do this and that, you know, were to give me tools so that I understand it better myself. I actually worked, and my best, he's my friend on Facebook. We always talk, and I think he's awesome, even though, you know, some people be like, oh my gosh, he's playing God. I've learned the technique of how to clone a human being from the guy that back in the 90s was on CNN and Connie Chung. And they were like, are you insane? Are you playing God cloning humans? Because he's actually perfected the technique of cloning humans, and he's had cloned humans.
So what do they clone them? Like, would you be able to clone me at the age that I'm at, or do you clone?
Oh yeah, of course. Okay. Of course. So I would like harvest a cell of yours, probably a skin cell, hair follicle, whatever, that I would find with the shortest, with the best solid telomeres. That's what I would pick. I mean, I don't think that's the way Dr. Zavos works, but for me, knowing genetics really well, right? Not saying that he doesn't, okay? He can get someone who's 65 pregnant. I kid you not. He has the Andrology Institute of America. He's been all over TV. He's actually cloned the first human, and obviously they're waiting for the child to become an adult before they put out the results. Now, when we say clone, everybody keeps thinking it's like a copy of you, like a photocopy. It's not. And the reason he does it is to help with fertility for people that want children of their own DNA but can't have them. Right? So like a single mom, right? She wants to have a baby, but she doesn't want to have, you know, a baby with just anyone or some sperm donor. So she decides, well, I'd like a baby that's made out of me only, since it's only my child. And so he takes your DNA. So I would take yours, for example. I would have, if you had any, good eggs, I would use your eggs. If not, I would use somebody else's, right? A donor's. And I would strip that egg of all its DNA and then insert yours that I've collected from the cell that I harvested from you, and pretty much put it in there, and that's it. And it replicates. Obviously there's a process to make it replicate.
It's like a twin though, right? At that point.
Right. It's like a twin. It's one of the 300 million versions of you that could have happened, not the exact one of you. So yeah, it is like your twin. So it could be your bone marrow transplant twin. It could be your liver transplant twin. It could be your lung transplant twin. Anything that comes out of that, you know, clone is viable with you because it's part of you. Make sense?
So are they doing what that movie, The Island, was doing, where they're growing people so they can have organs to transplant into people?
I don't know. Maybe we should ask Ruth Bader Ginsburg that.
They are. I mean, they could do it, so why not? Now, do they clone people to be the same age as you to be able to take over for specific functions and things, or?
I don't believe that they have, they're not.
They're not that advanced.
Well, the technology we have is insane.
But the technology to create a twin is different than to create the mental capacity. That's totally different though, right? I mean.
You mean the transference of knowledge from one brain to another? I would say we have some technology that isn't widely shared. I mean, I think the president made that clear too.
So, but let's say you clone me at my age, and I need another person that can go out there and be me while I'm at this hiding out, can you clone them enough where they have my knowledge, my stuff, and just go be me?
So I haven't seen it. But I would say that we have the technology to do something like that.
Well, and then at that point,
I mean, the technology that we have today that you know of, right, that all of us know of that's public, right, is technology we had in the 50s.